to another Genesis study, number 83. We're taking a little break from our verse-by-verse study to do a little review of Joseph as a type of Jesus Christ. We'll explain that in a minute, but first we want to start off with a hillbilly holler out to Eric and Sister Robin and their beautiful daughter Megan, the Schmitz, who live down in southeast Ohio. They're too far away to come into local church with us, but we have had the pleasure of meeting them. I had the honor of renewing their vows down in a nice little family gathering in Lancaster, and just a wonderful family. And we want to give them out the hillbilly holla for this study. And I also want to mention before we get into this day, this t-shirt. Those of you who know me know that I really don't like Star Wars. It's Buddhist indoctrination from George Lucas. So some of you, there's already people probably already typing emails. What in the world are you doing wearing a Star Wars shirt? Sure. Well, this isn't Star Wars. This is Claw Wars. The Fork Awakens. The Allball family is in Canada on a little mission vacation. And on the way back, I believe, they stopped at a restaurant and saw this shirt. And knowing how much I love Star Wars, they thought this would be funny to get for me. And so we love John and Jill and Johnny and Jenny and appreciate the thought. So before we get into our study, let's open with a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for this opportunity to teach. And as we have, I believe, before most every study, begun by recording this prayer so that everyone studying with us can join us in prayer. But even in those studies where we might not have recorded the opening prayer, I've always sought your help and ask you for your help now as I teach, and that those who are listening will have full faith in every word of this King James Bible that we study. And we just thank you and ask for your help in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at Joseph as a type of Christ, and there's a number of you who may wonder what that even means. Types aren't taught very often, and I'm guilty of that myself. I've left out some of the types because some of them are a little shady, or I guess you could say this is not a study in absolutes. This is a little bit of, I guess you could say it's relative in some sense. But in some examples, it's just so plain and clear. And by the way, this is a biblical thing. This isn't man-made, but it's not as exact. You know, the Bible says, you know, have no other gods before me. That's exact. That's what I mean. But then there are other examples of types in the Bible. And I want to just give you an introduction to types real quick. You know, the Bible clearly says, Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And so we understand that everything in the Old Testament was written for our learning. Well, there's things that are just stories. And so they don't really teach a whole lot if there is something there applicable for us. And yet, when we study them with the idea of them being types, it opens up a whole new understanding to some of these things that we read in the Old Testament. 1 Corinthians 10:11 said, now all these things happened unto them for in samples. See, it's not necessarily, it's like the New Testament, you know, again, says to love one another, pray without ceasing. You know, there's some black and white truths. Where in the Old Testament, we read these stories and we have to look at the big picture and see the in sample or example. It says, and they, it continues in verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 10, and they are written for our admonition upon whom the ends of the world are come. That's us. So we're looking back to learn. And you say, well, that just says the Old Testament's teaching us things. Well, there are other passages that clearly tell us that it's not just teaching us things, but are shadows, which is really the biblical word for this. I'm not sure why the word type was picked up, but, you know, theology and theologians, it's just like, you know, doctors, lawyers, you know, whatever it is, they come up with a new language, and a lot of what you do when you're trained or go to school, it's to learn the trade language. And that is, you know, kind of to keep it job security. It really is. And it's to keep people from thinking they know enough that they can be their own doctor sometimes. You know, sometimes we need doctors, but sometimes we can be our own doctors. And if we just use our brains and the wisdom God gives us. And so in theology and in Bible colleges and seminaries, the same thing is going on. You know, Jesus is seen in the Old Testament. So there's Old Testament appearances of Jesus, and those are called Christophanies in theology. And in the angel of the Lord is Jesus in the Old Testament, and that's an example of a theophany or Christophany there. So they come up with all these, you know, $30,000 words. Well, here's one that's simple, type, but the biblical word is shadow, as we see, for example, in Colossians 2, 16 and 17. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days. Great message to keep us from falling into cults and legalism. But it goes on to say, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. Meaning it's not clear. It's a shadow of things to come, and that's what a type is. Again, in Romans 8, 5, we see that Moses built the tabernacle based on the heavenly pattern, but that is only a shadow of the heavenly, what we see in Moses' tabernacle. Let's read it. Hebrews 8, 5 says, who serve unto the example and shadow of heavenly things. As Moses was admonished of God when he was about to make the tabernacle, for see, saith he, that thou make all things according to the pattern showed to thee in the mount. So Moses used the pattern of what he saw in heaven to build the tabernacle as best he could with what he had with God's instruction. But that's only a shadow, a type of what's in heaven. And ultimately, it prefigures Jesus Christ himself. But we don't want to get into that type. What we're going to study in this study is Joseph as a type. And just to give you a little more assurance that this is biblical, Jesus taught using types. In John 3:14, we all know John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Two verses before that, Jesus said, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, there's the event, the serpent up on the pole in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. So, you know, when you read that in the Old Testament, it's a strange story. God sends these serpents to, you know, attack. It's in Numbers. I want to look it up. Numbers 21, in beginning verse 6, and the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, we have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us. And Moses prayed for the people. Verse 8, Numbers 21, 8. And the Lord said unto Moses, make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live. Verse 9, and Moses made a serpent of brass, and put it upon a pole. And it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now Jesus uses that as a picture of himself. And so here we see a clear example of how types work. Why a serpent? When I first read this, even after I read about Jesus, you know, saying, just as Moses lifted up the serpent, that serpent represents Satan. Well, the reason why it represents Jesus in this case is because Jesus became sin. And so when Jesus is on the cross dying, he became sin. So when Moses lifted up a serpent, it was foreshadowing the day when the Son of God would be lifted up and become sin on a pole, on the cross. And that's just one clear example of types in the Scripture. And so let's look back at, I'm just going to read the reference in Genesis that we've already studied, and then the fulfillment in the New Testament. For the sake of time, you might want to jot these down, and you can run them, or you have your Bible open. We're going to be in Genesis 37 to start. And what you can do is you can put in the margin the New Testament reference and put type and then the New Testament reference. And then after we're done, go back and prayerfully study it slowly on your own, and you'll see it's just an amazing thing. For example, beginning right off in Genesis 37, verse 3, the first part of the verse said, "Now Israel loved Joseph more than all his children." Well, this is pictured or is a type of Jesus, who in Matthew 3:17, the Father himself says, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." Now, God has many sons. The angels are all called sons of God. Verse 12, John 1:12, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God." So see, there's many sons of God, but there's one unique, only begotten Son of God, and that is Jesus. The rest are all created. Jesus is not created, he's begotten. And we don't have time to get into all that, but just understand that difference. And so there's one Son of God that is above all others, just as, you know, people like to say, well, that's not right for Jacob, or Israel, as his name became known, to love one son above the others. Well, it doesn't matter whether it's right or wrong. It's a fact. It happened. And Joseph was his beloved son, and that is the foreshadowing of Jesus, the Son of God, who was the beloved of the Father. So that's just one example, the first example. Let's move on. The next verse, Genesis 37:4, "And when his brethren saw that their father loved him more, they hated him." And that's what happened to Jesus when all the children of Israel, including, you know, the men who would have been called the sons, and in a spiritual sense, we're all neither male nor female, sons of God. But this is what they envied and hated Jesus. Mark 15:10 says the chief priests had delivered him for envy. They handed him over to be killed for envy. Mark 15:10. Another reference is in John 15:25. At the end of the verse says, "They hated me without a cause." So Jesus himself talks about how they hate him because he's the only begotten Son of God and he's loved, beloved of the Father. So just stop there for a second. Think about how clear those types really are. Once some of you, you know, may have noticed that before. You may have heard some of this taught before. Regardless, we can all agree, hopefully, at this point, that there's some clear types, shadows, found in Joseph, fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Let's go to verse 7 in Genesis 37. It says, "Your sheaves stood and made obeisance to my sheaf." In other words, Joseph's foretelling that he would one day rule over them, his brethren. Well, in Matthew 26:64, you see Jesus saying, "Ye shall see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of power and coming in the clouds of heaven." And the Pharisees, Sadducees, Jewish leaders, and many of the people responded exactly the same way that Joseph's brethren did. They hated him for it. And just as Joseph had foretold it, the day would come when they would bow down before him. When we see you later, he became Pharaoh. Jesus did the same thing there in Matthew 26:64. Our next example is in verse 14 of Genesis 37. He's sent by the Father to seek the brother's welfare. Verse 14, Jacob tells him, "Go, see whether it be well with thy brethren." That is a type or foreshadow of Jesus Christ. In Luke chapter 20, verse 13, the end of the verse says, "I will send my beloved Son." And that's obviously referring to Jesus in that story. So another example is in verse 17. Joseph went after his brethren and found them. And this is exactly what we see of Jesus. Hebrews 10, verse 9, which is quoting a prophecy from the Psalms, where he says, "Lo, I come to do thy will, O God." Well, John 1:11 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." That's probably one of the most clear examples where Joseph, in verse 17, went after his brethren and found them, and he was rejected by them. And that's the same thing that happens here in John 1:11. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. In verse 18, then, we see that he's rejected, and they conspired against him to slay him. Now, anybody who's read the Gospels, that should ring a bell and be very sound very familiar, that they conspired against Jesus. In Luke 19:14, the verse ends by saying, "We will not have this man to reign over us." That's exactly the same attitude that Joseph's brothers had about him. And then later in Luke 23:21, "But they cried, saying, Crucify him! Crucify him!" And there are a number of other passages that, right off the top of my head, I'm sitting here thinking about that I didn't mention or don't have in my notes. But in John 5:18, it says, in beginning of verse 16, it actually says, "And therefore did the Jews persecute Jesus and sought to slay him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath day." It's just an amazing thing when you think about it. Doing miracles, and what they're worried about, their hang up about whether or not doing a miracle is work. And they didn't believe he was God. They believed he was a man. So common sense would have said, well, then this miracle is not really Jesus doing the work. It's God on the Sabbath doing this miracle. But when you are filled with the devil, you don't think reasonably. And it continues, verse 17, "But Jesus answered them, My Father worketh hitherto, and I work." See that? He's saying, well, you know, you can get mad at me all you want, but this is God working through me. You're going to have to get mad at God. So what do they do? Verse 18, "Therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him, because he not only had broken the Sabbath," according to their hang-ups, "but said also that God was his Father, making himself equal with God." And, you know, Joseph, all he did was tell his brothers what God had shown him in a dream. And for that, they wanted to kill him. All Jesus did was the miracles of God and spoke and taught what God had. You know, God the Father sent the Son, and the Son did the will of the Father. And for that, they wanted to kill him. We could give other examples. There's in John 7 where they sought to kill him. And all of that fulfills this type that we see in Joseph. And let's look at, Genesis 37, verse 23. And this jumps ahead to his crucifixion. Now, we're going in order of what we saw in Genesis 37, 38. The types aren't in chronological order. So we're kind of skipping back and forth to different parts of Jesus' life that this foreshadowed. But in Genesis 37, 23, the end of the verse says, "They stripped Joseph out of his coat that was on him." And what happened in Matthew 27, 28? They stripped Jesus, and he had this garment on him that they stripped, and then they cast lots for. But the taking the garment off of Jesus. Now, I just want to throw this in there. You could want to be a skeptic. You can say, well, that's kind of stretching things. You know, it wasn't a coat of many collars on Jesus and that sort of thing. And types are not exact, and that's why I said there's some things that are a bit maybe opinion or relative to a person's, you know, view of things. But if it's just one or two of these things, you can just throw that out the window. But we're going on, and I haven't numbered these, and I'm not giving you a number because this is just an introduction. That you could really push these types a lot further than I am in this study. And once you add up these things, you can't deny this. I mean, what we're talking about, we've only scratched the surface. And so you want to throw this one out? Fine, but you can't throw all these things out. It is undeniable, and it is a mark of the inspiration of Scripture. See, this is why this study is so important. is the Bible is so full of divine fingerprints. Prophecy is the main one. Prophecies, like we talk about the prophecies, just like the types. There's prophecies about Jesus, and I've talked to especially some Jews and Muslims who are like, "Oh, I don't believe that. You're making that look like it's a prophecy of Jesus, but I don't think it is." You know, even if you start throwing some of these out, there are over 300, and some of them you cannot deny are a reference to Jesus, and then instead of throwing them out, you have to sit back and say, wait a minute, man, there's something here. Folks, that's why I'm a Christian. I did not become a Christian because they had such cool youth groups, and they reached me with my music and my rock and roll that they turned into, they Christianized with, you know, Striper and all that back in the 80s. And, you know, all the things that, all these fleshly, carnal methods that they tried to use to reach young people. There's a reason why so many homeschoolers and Christian kids raised in church and everything are quitting. And it's because, A, number one, A, they are not taught these things. They're trying to reach kids with carnal means and entertain them. Or B, or if you want, number two, and this has hit home here in our family. I'm trying not to get too personal here with this, but I'm just telling you, in my family and extended family, there are several cases where the kids were taught very well, but they just reject it. But the bottom line is, if they are taught and they receive the truth of prophecies and these types, you're going to be a Christian because the Bible. That's why James says, "Receive ye the engrafted word, which is able to save your souls." Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God." And so that's just another brick here in our wall of belief, wall of faith here, is to look at these types, and you look at all these, you make this list, there's no denying it. Let's keep moving so we can get through more of these. But he was in forsaken when they threw him in the pit. Genesis 37:24 says, "And they took him and cast him into a pit." And then you look at how Jesus fulfills that in Matthew 12:40. The verse ends by saying, "So shall the Son of Man be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth." That being thrown in the pit and staying there and being forsaken, just like Jesus was when he was crucified and put into the tomb. Now this one, even though it's not exact, it just blows my mind. I remember the first time I read this, I wasn't being taught types. And I'm like, wow, that's just like Jesus, only the just a slight difference in the amount, where Joseph was sold for pieces of silver. In Genesis 37:28, it says, "They sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites," which is, you know, 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. And of course, most all of you are going to think of the fact that Matthew 26:15, "And they bargained with him," Judas, "for 30 pieces of silver." That is not just a coincidence. That's just, it's crazy to think this is just coincidence. Joseph, when he's sold into slavery, he becomes a servant. In Genesis 39:1-2, it says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." So I'm skipping to Genesis 39:1-2, but it says in Luke 22:27, ends by saying, "I am among you as he that serveth." And in Philippians 2:7, tells us that he took upon him the form of a servant. That fulfills exactly what happened to Joseph, who became a servant. In Genesis 39:3, the end of the verse says, "And the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand." And Isaiah 53:10, we have a prophecy where it says, "And the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand." And I believe that's a reference to Jesus in the millennial kingdom when he reigns. And so Joseph is picturing that. Moving right along, Genesis 39:7-12, the temptation by Potiphar's wife. Well, in Hebrews 7:26, we're told we have an high priest that was fitting, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners. And Hebrews 4:15 says he was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. And Joseph was not guilty of any sin. He was set up. He was framed. But like Jesus, he was tempted, but without sin. Genesis 39:17-18 says, the Hebrew servant whom thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. So here he is being set up by false witnesses. Same thing happened in Matthew 26, verse 60. And at last two false witnesses came. Genesis 39:20, and I'm moving quickly because I'm just going to do one lesson on this. You can continue your studies. You can jot these down. Of course, rewind or however you want to listen to this over again and take better notes if you want. But this is a fascinating one here. Genesis 39:20 says, and Joseph's master put him into the prison, a place where the king's prisoners were bound. And so he's thrown in with the malefactors, just like Jesus, Luke 23:33, and they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left. So Joseph and Jesus, both innocent, thrown in with the criminals. Genesis chapter 40, verse 13 says, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine hand and restore thee. And again, that's one that I read the first time I read through this. I was like, wow, that's exactly like Jesus, Luke 23:43. Of course, being raised on the third day, and he tells the thief on the cross, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And here's Joseph telling this man that he's going to be lifted up. So it's very similar, very much a type. And Genesis 41:13, try to sneak a couple more in here. And it came to pass as he interpreted to us. And that's just like Jesus, who in John 13:19, he says, now I tell you before it come that when it has come to pass, ye may believe that I am he. So Joseph telling the future, just like Jesus told the future. And because of that, Joseph was lifted up. He was, I don't say glorified, but he was elevated and put in charge. And that's how Jesus then becomes the king in a real sense. One last one, I'll get in here. There's some more, but Genesis 41:39. For as much as God hath shown thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art. And of course, Isaiah 9:6 says that his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor. And there, like I said, we got a whole list, another page of these. And I encourage you to look these up for yourself and read through these chapters again and think, do this first. Think about how you can identify Jesus in these. And then you can find other sources and commentaries and that sort of thing that'll lay them out for you if you want. Do a little cheating. And it's not really cheating. Those guys got it the same way you and I do, by studying. And there's nothing wrong with allowing others to give you the information and teach you just like I am here.
Testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Acts chapter 20, verse 21, King James Bible.
For solid King James Bible preaching and teaching, along with the encouragement of the Psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, tune in to our internet radio station available every day, 24 hours a day, at bbfohioradio.com. Join listeners from over 150 nations, all 50 U.S. states, and other U.S. territories who are tuning in and receiving free Bible teaching at bbfohioradio.com.